So what I'm here to talk to you today essentially is one page of pie charts and the back page is bar charts. And it's a PDF file and 2,000 providers in California can download them. And so it's not particularly complex in terms of the information or the data that's within it, but what is complex is how did we get there and is it useful? So that's what I'm going to talk about today. And I see two of my co-authors are here today. Leslie Watts, she's in the back. She's all things coding expert. She, I might do the SAS coding, but she knows what actually happens in the clinical environment and how that translates, so which code should I be using. And then our demographer, Marina Chabot, is also in the back. Please raise your hand. all things demography, she can answer those questions. And so really it is a dynamic team of clinicians, demographers, epidemiologists, policy analysts. It's a really dynamic group of folks that go into sending these out. So I like to think we're all health informaticists. So I really wanted to start with, so we made this, and then what? Well, we did a feedback survey, and here's one of the qualitative comments that we got. The demographic profile, in one case, for this Title X funded clinician provider in Los Angeles County, they found it useful, and this is what they said. In the past, this data was critical in making the case that our clinic could support an adolescent-only department. It made the case, and we've been expanding successful as a result, expanding it to over the last 3 years and looking to expand our hours again shortly. And I really appreciated hearing that because we at the state level sometimes don't really know. Once we send our reports out, we don't know what's happening. So the program I work for is called Family Pact. That's Family Planning, Access, Care, and Treatment. I work on the program monitoring and evaluation team. We subcontract to the state. And there's over 2,000 clinics in California. With my background in geographic information systems, I felt it necessary to show you a map. the red dots there are our Title X funded providers, and they account for about only 15% of our 2,000 clinics. But what's really interesting about the Title X funded providers is of the 1.8 million clients in the program we serve each year, they serve over 50%. So it's a really important group, and they are one of our major stakeholders in Family Pact. So what kind of data do we have? The informaticists here will be interested to know what are we working with. We start with Medi-Cal's MIS-DSS. The rest of the country calls it Medicaid. We call it Medi-Cal here in California. And that is managed by a company called Optum. And with our contract for the state, we take a slice of Family Pact data off. And what that really is client enrollment data, provider enrollment data, and then fee-for-service medical claims data. So we're not using electronic medical record data yet, but we have a huge wealth of data that's out there already in administrative data. So the program pays for all FDA-approved contraceptive methods. So those are the fee-for-service claims we're going to have, and as well as STI testing and treatment and limited cancer screening such as mammography. So that's the data we're working with. Many of you may have been aware of the idea that we moved over to national provider ID over this last 5 years or so, and we spent an awful lot of time just saying, who's a provider? How do you define providers? What will the clinics accept as a provider? And internally, our solution was to use national provider ID, a unique combination of NPI, owner number, and location number. And it's not perfect, but 9 times out of 10, that'll get us to our clinics. And that's the data that our clinics will appreciate. We may aggregate back up to NPI, so a group of clinics can figure out how they're doing. But this is what has worked for us. And then the client enrollment form, because family planning, easy access to contraception is really important, it's a one-page form. It's a one-page self-certification form, front and back. They try to keep it as simple as possible, so the data, the demographic data we have is fairly simple. So, for example, when you're looking at race, ethnicity, there's limited choices, and we don't have one for multi-race, for example. but we try to keep it as simple as possible. And they can do that, fill out that form the day of their services. So what we do is we take all that data, we combine it together, and we store it in a file. We call it the combo file. We've been doing this since 1997. This current fiscal year, the most current fiscal year I checked, that had about 15 million records. So it's a very, very dynamic set of reproductive health data, and we've done a lot of good things with it. We also have found that Medi-Cal doesn't house a lot of information that we would like to know. It's just various external data sources, like, for example, this is the access point for the demographic profile. Internally, we make that available to the clinical team. For example, they can go in and pull up the PDF. It also gives us our medical director's names and email addresses. We track who's the Title X provider, and so Medi-Cal doesn't do that. So we do a lot of work with this very small but important in-house provider database. So we have what is called the provider profiles. And this started from, was first released in 2005, but the planning started many, many years prior to that. And they were first distributed in 2005. Each new metric may take up to, 1 to 3 years to get all the clinical team and the policy team and the demographers to all agree to get one out. We're now up to 9 different, what we're calling quality improvement and utilization management indicators. By 2007, they became retrievable online, which was a really big success. And now what we're keeping track of is which of our clinicians would like to receive those paper lists, meaning it's very expensive and a lot of administrative work for us to mail those out. Very simple for us to send a batch to the website and have them uploaded to the website. So our little in-house database is now keeping track of which of our providers would like to stop receiving it in the mail and receive it paperlessly. So just to give you an idea of the work that's being done in terms of quality improvement, this is the one of the metrics, chlamydia screening for women in family pact ages 25 and younger. So this is the metric one provider may get in their profile. Ideally, the clinical guideline says 100% of those women should be screened. This particular provider, starting back 4 periods ago, was at 68%. And 4 periods later, they have joined their peers. This is the black line there is the peer median at 78%. So there's a 10% improvement over the period. So you could see that how this would be a really nice effort. And Leslie Watts did a great job, my colleague in the back, getting this published, and if anybody would like a copy, I printed out a couple copies. So it goes a little bit more in depth than to the QIUM project. So working in the Access to Care work group, and one of the take-home points with this publication is that this is a model starting point for national meaningful use reproductive health indicators. So as you are trying to pull together all of this electronic medical record data and you're looking for examples, as far as we know, we're the only one doing that in family planning. So we have some really good experiences. And then also something else we learned is that the provider feedback loop is absolutely essential. We want this to be a dialogue between our providers, between our stakeholders. We don't want it to appear punitive or to a negative thing. So that's a really important element. And so building on the momentum of that project and working in the Access to Care work group, we came up with the idea of, well, what if we included some demographics with the provider profile? So we wanted to give providers a chance to understand their client population over time, how is it changing in the program, and then there were also special populations such as males and teens. People have certain funding for those things. So after many years, it was first released in 2011 as part of the provider profile project. Budget constraints only allows us to make that available online at the Family Pact website. And we were also sort of hoping that that might encourage providers to go paperless. If providers want this information, a lot of people don't even know it's out there. So the one they get in the mail will not contain the demographic profile. So we started to get some feedback. last month and where we're at right now of feedback from 27 providers and stakeholders. 41% of them are the Title X funded providers, the ones that are really helpful and very vocal. Then we have, looking at our provider staff, 37% come from the clinical side and 22% come from the administrative side. And then we have our stakeholders, 41% responded, our stakeholders, researchers, that type. We also put out a methods and interpretation document, so we try to keep it simple so that you can see the pretty pictures, but if you really want the detail, that's online, and what we found out is 33% actually read that document. That was news to us. And in doing some focus groups and gearing up, what we found is very few people actually saw the demographic profile. Of the people that have responded so far, only 50% said yes. So in designing this survey, what I found really had to be done is it had to serve as an orientation first and foremost. Where is it? How do you get it? What does it look like? Now can you please provide some feedback? So here's the front page, which is the four pie charts. Up there at the top would be the provider's information. There's the N for the fiscal year, how many clients in Family Pack did you serve? And going back and forth, trying to figure out what's a good cutoff, 50. Any less than 50, it's just not worth it. You wouldn't get a demographic profile. Two other best practices that we found, speaking with our epidemiologists, our demographers, all of our statisticians and our experts, is that if you were to represent a slice here, you don't want to represent anything smaller than 15. You could, there's lots of cases while you could, but everybody felt safe at 15 because that would reduce the likelihood of anybody being re-identified based on this profile. And so that was really important. And then just for readability and programming logic and whatnot, we found no more than 10 slices. You need to put that over in other. So we asked our providers, which was the most useful? Hands down, they said the percent of clients served by sex and age. That was the most useful one. And these are family planning providers, keep in mind. And then surprisingly, this was kind of because my background is geographic. I was rooting for the zip code one. So surprisingly, it's only 27 people so far. But number two is people want to know where their clients are coming from. I spoke with somebody from Planned Parenthood LA, and he said that, oh, well, we have a great data warehouse. We can pull up all of this information, but this zip code one, wow, this is much more accessible. So race ethnicity was number three, and very surprisingly, so far, nobody has wanted primary language, did not classify it as the most useful. So they were forced to choose just one. So, and then 5% said none of the above. So one of the big questions is it useful at all? Is anybody going to use it? So, and then looking at it in three different ways, we asked of the pie chart page, did you find it understandable, useful, accurate, and or accurate? And whether they agreed or disagreed. And the good news here is 100% found it understandable. And the process we went through to have this project, see this project through fruition, involved talking to our stakeholders, talking to our clinical practice committee, and then starting to turn out some examples. And one of the overall messages, please keep it simple. Don't get too complex. Please keep it simple. And so clearly so far, people are finding it understandable. And then useful, 82% found it useful, 14% just didn't have an opinion. And then in terms of accurate, I think what I wanted to get at here was more, did you trust the data? It's paid administrative claims data. We've heard, for example, with some of the QIUM metrics that their claims were being denied. And so, of course, their metric isn't coming out like they would expect because their claims were being denied. And through that feedback loop, we were able to start including denied claims in the metric. So 59% did say they found it accurate. 41% just simply had no opinion. Back page is the trend charts over time. How's your practice changing over time? Again, minimum 15 per bar, maximum 4 bars. That seems to be, and then of course, 4 metrics per page. That's what seems to work well. Again, we asked which was the most useful. Not surprisingly, the total clients in your practice that were family-packed was the most useful. This practice, for example, just has a downward trend. The second most useful was new client enrollments in the program, followed by teen clients served in the program, and 0% did not find male clients served in the program the most useful. And again, with the 5%, did not find anything here useful. That was very consistent. And the understandable, useful, accurate was very similar to what I presented earlier on the pie chart page. So one of the questions is how will you use or may use the demographic profile? And over 40% had these said they'd use it for outreach, advertising, intervention, for funding proposals and grant applications, comparing and contrasting two clinics, so that now you have a standardized set of data that you can start comparing and contrasting, linguistic or cultural competency efforts, staff orientation and training, ordering educational materials in the appropriate languages. 27% said they might use it for planning clinic hours and staffing. And then again, with about 5% said, I don't think we'll use it at all. And we do plan to get a little bit more feedback, but that was pretty consistent when asking it in the various ways of will you use it at all. And there was some open-ended comments, and so I put two up here. One is one clinician provider in Los Angeles County said it would be so much more helpful if the data was more timely. And we're in an unfortunate situation right now with budget constraints that the provider profiles have not been refreshed in a year right now. And they're very expensive and time-consuming to mail out. And so that's kind of where we're at. So we're asking for feedback from last year's report. So maybe next year's report we'll get more feedback. But we do have good news. It sounds like it's coming out next month. And then one of the stakeholders, who's a researcher, said they'd really like to see the zip code chart stratified by race, ethnicity, to help do some targeted interventions. And we certainly can do that on an ad hoc basis, but we're sticking with what the clinical practice committee asked us to do. Keep it simple. Where are we going? This is another way we could represent the zip codes. Did some experimenting with, well, maybe we could do a page with a map and try to look at clinic catchment areas or where the vast majority of clients are coming from. Here we are in San Francisco, so I threw up the sample San Francisco map for San Francisco General Hospital. It's that orange dot you see there. And the dark areas are mostly where their clients are coming from. And if I move over to a different clinic and a different map, still in San Francisco, you can see the Tides Clinic has their clients are coming from a different area. So if you're trying to do some community planning, this could be kind of helpful. That's where we may be going. There's other metrics we're looking at. But I think the overall point is this is a model starting point if you're trying to organize some demographic data. It took a lot of work. It seems so simple, but to get everybody on the same page and to make it useful and to make it simple, that's a whole nother story. It's also been really useful to providers and stakeholders in the community. So we have researchers, for example, that have funding to do some community outreach and family planning, and they want to know who are your family planning providers, who's doing work in this area. And great, because I have some funding because we know there's high rates of chlamydia among a certain race ethnicity, and so can I just get the profiles for these 10 in this area, and then that will help them figure out where to move from there. One of the drawbacks is that this is just family PAC data. It doesn't include other sources of care, so you've got to take that into account. But the really nice thing is it is family planning clients. So if you have a special family planning project, then it gives you a really good idea. The other programs may be coming from other areas, you know, mixed in with your diabetes care or something like that. Many of our clinics do primary care as well. So this was a good profile of the family planning population. So thank you.